okay? There's a bit of a hum. Right. Right, my topics are good Baptist principles, three headings, but they're quite long headings. If you'd like to put the next one up, please. There we are. The first thing I thought when I was asked if I would preach is waiting. Now, I thought, now what do I do with waiting? But then the second one is, but God, suddenly. Okay? And the third one is what happens afterwards. Okay, so that's my thing. So this part is waiting. Now, I feel in this modern age, waiting is not something we like to do anymore. Okay? We are so used to accessing things either now or very soon. With the internet and all it offers, we expect to be able to look products up, purchase them instantly, and expect the delivery any time, even within hours. Staggering, isn't it, really? But we as a culture have moved away from the agricultural type of position, that the farmer would prepare the soil, plant the seeds, and then wait for the crops to grow before he could harvest them. This is a long cycle, even for rapid growth crops, and we see this around us in our area. Farmers have to be patient and diligent to see the fruit of their labours. Do you remember when Ian gave us some mustard seeds to put in a cup to grow them? How long did it take for the first shoots to show and then on to full growth? You must wait for the seed to germinate and then to grow. It all takes time. God's timing is built into the seed itself. We can't make it grow any faster. However, with God, we are expected to wait for him to move, as with the farming of crops. He doesn't rush to do something just because we are in a hurry. We are expected to wait. During the Old Testament period, God worked with the Israelites over many years. He was waiting for them to understand his call on their lives and them to grow in confidence, obeying his commands, leaving behind their old ways, seeking him and worshipping. There were a number of instances in Scripture where the Israelites had to wait for many years. If you could just about see that. Abraham and Sarah, they waited many years for the fulfillment of God's promise of son Isaac. Noah waited 120 years while building the ark. Moses, he spent 40 years in the desert before being called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And the journey to the promised land also took 40 years. David, he was anointed as a king as a young man, but he had to wait many years and face many numerous trials, including persecution by the existing king, Saul, before finally becoming the king of Israel. And also, there are a number of prophets. Prophet Anna, an elderly widow, spent her days at the temple praying and fasting for many years, waiting for the redemption of Israel, and then finally was blessed to see the baby Jesus. What an experience that must have been. We recall that in the act of creation, God's Holy Spirit, or Ruach, however you say it, moved over the earth and transformed it into fullness of life. The Holy Spirit inspired people to give prophecies predicting the future, especially letting his people know how the Messiah was to come and what the future held for them as a nation and for the aliens or Gentiles, us. As God's people did in the past, we too should consider the way we live our lives from God's perspective and not our own, but to be patient when things don't move as quickly as we would like, to understand the times and what would happen, and to wait expectantly for God to act. The Israelite people had to wait at least 400 years for the fulfillment of the prophecies about the arrival of the Messiah and what would happen after his arrival. Although they were continually looking out for the arrival of the Messiah, their understanding of the one to come was based on a person coming as a king in the likeness of King David, a warrior king. As we looked at previously, all Jewish mothers to be were hoping that their child would be the chosen one. But God chose Mary. She was the one God chose to be the virgin mother of Jesus. No one was ready for that to happen, especially Mary or her spouse, even though their scriptures described in detail what was going to happen. When Jesus started his ministry, none of the Jewish leaders recognized him to be the Messiah. They were locked in their mindset and couldn't see what was actually taking place before their very eyes. They preferred the status quo. They, under the Romans, were in control of their people and certainly didn't want that to be put at risk. They had too much to lose themselves. Even Jesus' disciples hadn't grasped the truth about Jesus. They were equally confused about how Jesus fitted into their cultural understanding. It makes me think, are we fixed in our cultural expectations? I wonder. If Jesus came into our lives today without making it clear who he really was, how would we react when we heard what he said and saw what he was able to do? When Jesus died on the cross, this shattered all the disciples' dreams and expectations. What were they to do now? As we know, Jesus rose again from the tomb, which also challenged them even more. What was happening? How were they to react to this totally new experience? How would we react? As Andrew took us through living life with Jesus, we will also look at the scriptures he used. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And a bit later on, "Then he opened their minds." That's an experience. "So they could understand the scripture. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus met with his disciples in many different ways, demonstrating his resurrected life and the new powers he had. Imagine how we would feel if someone suddenly just appeared in the room without coming through any of the entrances. Would we be frightened like the disciples? I think we would. I would anyway. Luke had explained in his gospel all about Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. And he continued his writings in Acts, which describes how God worked with the disciples after Jesus' ascension. Luke wrote Acts to explain to Theophilus of what was happening through God's ministry. He outlined the link between his first letter and this one. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised that you have heard speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Here Jesus is telling the disciples to wait for the gift his Father promised. I wonder if they had any idea what this meant. Jesus had previously breathed the Holy Spirit on them, but what was to come was so much greater than anyone could anticipate. In Acts 1, 6 to 8, then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you coming to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking of being a warrior king. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here we see the disciples still had no idea what was going to happen to them. They still thought about the earthly kingdom as they knew it. Would it be restored and the Romans would be gone? How wrong they were. Can we blame them for their lack of understanding? I think I would have been much the same. The disciples obeyed Jesus' instructions to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And we read in Acts, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Oh no, that's worse. Sorry about that. The disciples had gathered together as they had before, scared for their lives, but carrying out the instructions Jesus had given them to wait in Jerusalem. They waited and prayed because that is what they knew they were expected to do. They followed the example set by Jesus. As we read, suddenly God intervened in their prayer meeting. How dramatic! The sound of a violent wind. They could see what seemed to be tongues of fire coming to rest on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in strange languages as the Spirit enabled them. I don't think they had time to ponder on what was going on. They were completely absorbed in participating in the experience. They thought, whoa. I said, we asked for it to come down, Lord. How we long for God to intervene in our prayer meetings. You've got to come to the prayer meetings, otherwise it's not going to happen to you. Well, no, that's not totally true. Not totally true, no. I'll come to that. It would certainly waken everything up in the church. We thank God that we do have people speaking in tongues and giving interpretations. It's a wonderful introduction to what God wants to give to the church. God has told us many times in the past that his Holy Spirit would never leave us as a church. Amen. We remember having had occasions when God has moved powerfully in the church over many years, and we've been here many years. Good and faithful, yeah. An oak, I'm told, or a post. There have been many times when people have seen angels in the building. That's an experience. While we were worshipping, on other occasions, people were visibly touched by the movement of the Holy Spirit. Some people have experienced physical healing through the laying on of hands and prayer. We are grateful for those times, but we desperately need them to occur more often now. Good crowd, you know that. Great encouragement. Kerry and I had some friends who we knew at church called Barry and Christine Lorimer. You remember them? Oh gosh, got good memory. Yeah, yeah. We knew that they had something special about them which made them stand out as Christians. Their faith was much more robust than ours in some way. On one occasion, we invited them to come to our home and asked them to tell us about what made their faith different to ours. They then told us about having received the Holy Spirit in their lives and the impact he had on them. We asked if they would pray for us to receive the Holy Spirit, which they proceeded to do. They said that Jesus would baptize us with his Holy Spirit, which we were then blessed to know the touch of God's Holy Spirit in our own lives as well, which was very exciting. We read in Ezekiel that God will put my Spirit in you, and that is what God does when we accept Jesus into our lives and seek the blessing of his Holy Spirit. Hello, the screen's gone blank now. I'll read it anyway. Are you right? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, this is Kerry's suggestion. We have a dry towel. Hello? Or you're going to make it so we can see it. Yeah, okay. You put that in there. Right. No, no, no. Excuse me. Never really sure about this. Right. I think you can hold this. More. Well, I thought one was enough, but there you go. Always listen to your wife. Did you hear that, man? That's wisdom, that is. I need quite a bit. Now, in terms of baptism, would you say that is drenched with water? It's drenched. And when we baptize people, we expect them to be totally drenched. And when God's Spirit comes, he drenches us with his Holy Spirit. Excuse me, but you might finish with this on your head. To do with another towel. When I was putting this together, I didn't think it would cause quite so much hilarity, but never mind. I could take over Andy Kine's job, and I hopefully. No, I know it was Kerry's suggestion, this one, and it does, as you say, people remember practical things, you see. So there you go. Having been a lecturer for many years, I rely on finding out lots of words and then telling people what those words are. So you've got to put up with it, I'm afraid. Right. Where was I? Oh, down there. As we can see from the soaking of the cloth, it was completely drenched. And that's a picture, as we said, of total immersion. And we expect God to drench us. Pat Goodwin, professor, gave us a prophetic word about the church being drenched in the Holy Spirit and for many to come to salvation. And we are still praying and waiting for that time to come. I do remember years ago, people laid out in there. I know some of them were touched and never came back again. But God moved in power. So what happens next? There we go. Thank you. We've already read how God moved on the disciples as they were transformed from being frightened to being bold and speaking about the glory of God. Peter, the one who had failed Jesus so miserably before, stood up and preached to a huge crowd of people. What an experience that must have been for him. Next. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly they amazed, they asked, aren't these all those who are speaking Galileans? And they were country folk, Galileans. Then how is it that each one of us can hear our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked, what does this all mean? Because the crowd heard the noise of a violent wind, they were drawn to the place where the disciples were. Each one could hear the disciples speaking in their own language. And they asked how this could be. And in fact, I know of circumstances where people, even the accent has been correct for the people that were there. I've heard of that going on. They said that. And no idea. They could tell that the disciples were not normally able to speak in other languages, so that challenged them. God comes suddenly and transformed all those present. Are we ready to be transformed to carry out God's plan for our futures, individually and as a church? God doesn't always act suddenly, as we have seen from the history of the Israelites and of the disciples. We have to wait and be patient, which we're not necessarily good at. Joining together in prayer and celebrating God for who he is and looking forward in anticipation, we should all seek the blessing of the Holy Spirit for ourselves, asking others, we trust, to guide us in this. We come to Acts again. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. There's a list. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Yeah. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Listen to that. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm waiting for that. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Peter was able to stand up outside the building and address the crowd, explaining that what they were witnessing had been prophesied many years ago. That although it seemed unusual, it was exactly what God had told them would happen through the prophets of old. They had been waiting for this move of God for so long, it didn't seem real to them that they would experience such a move of God at this time. Acts 2, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
How challenging to be told what had happened to Jesus by their leaders was done on their behalf. They were just as responsible for crucifying Jesus as their leaders. But Jesus was raised from the dead. Death could not hold him. Praise God. Next. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, includes us. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. It's pretty corrupt at the moment. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Okay? We need a bigger church. Okay. How wonderful that Peter could stand up and preach without preparation or notes. Such a powerful message through the Holy Spirit. Now, that would be quite nice to be able to do that. He challenged the crowd to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And 3,000 were added to their number that day. Oh, that our preaching would have that effect today. We need to be ready for the next outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. which would prepare us for the return of Jesus to establish his kingdom here on earth. It is not an inactive form of waiting. It is acting, active and powerful. The disciples met together in prayer to await the outpouring, knowing that is what Jesus had asked them to do. And as we know in Matthew, and the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I mean, that's a challenging word, because do we doubt too much at times that God is actually going to do what we expected him to do? Was it John Wimber who used to say, come back to me when you've prayed 1,000 times and then you can talk to me about when prayer works, where prayer doesn't. Anyway, I digress. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The end of the age is not yet. They were called to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. We also read later on how God used Peter to speak to Gentiles, because up to them, the people he'd spoken to largely were fellow Jews. But this time, God used Peter to speak to a Gentile through Cornelius, asked him to come and tell about the good news. So he went, being obedient. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, that's us. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay there for a few days. We want a few more days than just a few days to be taught. So we read, Peter went there to share the gospel, and God intervened, touched him with his Holy Spirit. I don't think he was able to finish his message, actually. The Spirit just fell. I was hoping for that this morning, actually, but, you know. Optimist as ever. The Jews with Peter were amazed that God would do such a thing, to fill Gentiles with his Holy Spirit. Another suddenly. A surprise in their understanding that God wanted to do in the future for us all. God blessing Jews and Gentiles alike. We too are called in this time of waiting to reach out to those who do not yet know Jesus and share the good news and await the suddenly from God. Are we ready for that? What do we expect God to do? We thank God for this church. I know I call it a little church, but actually, I mean, it's little in some senses, but you've got more people here than Jesus had as disciples. Over 3 times as many. They changed the world. Okay, I hope you're ready. So continue to pray for all the workers and join in with that work as you're called to. And help us as we pray for the future and a new minister in due course, as God will lead. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that they may be the same Holy Spirit, may be truthful, truly wise, and ever enjoy this consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I'll stand and sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture pass through my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Right, we're going to sing this last song, and it's called Rest on Us. Hopefully you know.